Hello, everybody, on a beautiful late afternoon. Glad to have you with us again for the brand new edition, the next edition of American Hit Radio here on WHPC 90.3 FM. I'm Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales-Ryan, here as well. On Wednesdays, we will be doing what we've been doing pretty much most, if not all, of the most recent Wednesdays. We've started this thing which we're calling an alternative top 40, which is to say 500 albums that never, great albums that never made the top 40. We made a list of 500 from 1964 to the present of albums that have been more or less neglected by, I guess, happenstance, fame, whatever. They didn't get the fate that they deserved. And we're trying to rectify that now by basically dedicating an entire, one radio show to an entire album and playing them in chronological order. This is show... Am I back? There we go. This is show number 35 in that series. We're at the time period of December of 1967. And the album that I want to cover is the very first album released by the British group Traffic in England. The album was called Mr. Fantasy. In America, it eventually shared that name, but it was originally released in America with the title Heaven is in Your Mind. And it's that version of the album that I want to cover. There's a, I would say, a significant difference between the British release and the American release. And I'll be quite honest, in fact, but the first time I heard this album, I wasn't that fond of it. I thought that it was too, unfocused. I didn't like the track layout very much, and there were songs on there that just seemed like they were just taking up space. And I remember even talking with a good friend of mine, gosh, as long as 20, 25 years ago, when I was beginning to try to like the album, because I consider myself a fan of the band. And I heard it for the first time maybe many years later, maybe in the early 80s. And I'm saying, boy, I just don't get early Traffic. And my friend, his name was Viva. I remember him, arguing with me and saying, well, that's because you're not listening close enough. You keep listening and you'll get it. You'll get it. And I, shrugged, didn't think it was going to happen. What I found out eventually was that I had been listening to the wrong version of the album. There's the short story for how I became about obtaining this album, although it's funny to tell. It goes back again almost 30 years. If anybody remembers WNEW, the rock and roll radio station that was at 102.7, people like, Dave Herman and Pete Fornatale and Scott Muni and all those guys. Dennis Elsis was on WNEW at that time. Around 20, almost 30 years ago, they were having this contest about, they realized they're about to play their 2 millionth song on the air. So they had a contest where you had to guess what the 2 millionth song was, and then you had to...
And they were giving clues.
Right, they were dropping clues. And you'd have to guess the song, and you also had to guess which DJ would be playing it, on whose shift would the track get played. I eventually figured out what the song was going to be pretty early in the game.
It was a formula.
Yeah, there was something to it. I remember one clue was this person knows rock and roll from A to Z, and this band. And I figured, okay, A to Z. And then one day I'm like shopping for records, and they were literally playing a song called God Gave Rock and Roll to You over the PA system that I wasn't that familiar with. And I said, who is this thing? I said, oh, that's Argent. And I'm like, Argent. I mean, that's, wasn't Rod Argent in The Zombies? I'm like, oh my God, A to Z, there it is. This is the song. So I knew right away what it was going to be. The first prize, if you had guessed this, the reason I'm telling this story, the first prize was a Porsche. So I really wanted that red Porsche, man.
Of course you did. Who wouldn't?
That was just a great first prize. And since I figured it out first, I spent maybe $100 on index cards because that's how
you had to mail in postcards.
Right,
they
mail in postcards, right. So I sent in about 100 postcards, it maybe cost me, I probably spent, $15 or $20 on postcards. And then the morning came where they were going to play the song. And I realized a week in advance that they were really going to mess me up because the DJ, who I was almost positive was going to play it, they had pushed it to... Like they started playing like in a Gata Da Vida an awful lot that week. The number of songs that were getting played in like an average day, the number changed drastically. So I had to basically at the last minute, I realized that the first 100 cards that I sent in probably weren't going to be any good because I picked the wrong DJ. So I sent in a bunch more hoping to compensate. Long story short,
I won
what was, I think, their second prize. Their second prize was, because they were on 102.7, it was a 102.7-second record run through Tower Records.
Not a bad deal.
Not bad. So I could basically grab whatever I wanted. So, of course, I made a point of being sure that I was going to grab all the things that I didn't already have. This is my chance to catch up on history that I couldn't afford. So one of the first bands I zoomed in on was Traffic. And that's how I got this album. So it was like one of about maybe 80 albums that I got that day. So it took a while for me to get into it. And it was so much competition.
But you stacked the decks in your favor, so
yes,
to
I did.
Speak. So.
Well, that's the long version of the story that I'm thinking to do now. But the point is, the version of the album that I grabbed was the British version. And I didn't know this. It's a vinyl album. I just presumed that this is the way the record sounded. And it didn't really impress me much until I did a little bit of research years later. And I found out that there's an American version that rips that takes off a couple of the bad songs, adds some great singles, and all of a sudden, bam, it's a great record. So, of course, I understand why my American friends loved it all this time and why I was basically coming at it from the wrong place, because I heard the wrong version of it.
You had the wrong end of the stick.
Exactly. So let's just get right into it. The name of the album, as I said, Mr. Fantasy, eventually, is the title that was used in either country. In America, it was originally released as Heaven Is In Your Mind. Here's the opening track from that album. It's called Paper Sun.
Thank you. has left you so cold in the paper swell.
Paper Sun, the opening track on the very first Traffic album as it was released in the United States. On the British version, that song didn't even exist on it. So the version of the album that I had been hearing, I never even knew that song. So it was when I finally found out about the American version, it really made me happy because that song got a lot of airplay in its time, Paper Sun. And it was one of those songs that I apparently figured that maybe it existed only as a single. That's why it wasn't on the British album. Because it was a single, and the Brits tend to not put singles on their albums, at least they didn't in the 60s. So that caused for a different sort of a release. But in America, it made for a really good opening track, and it improved the album significantly just right off the bat by having a really cool song to open up. The next track, and they also changed the running order of the songs considerably. The next song was on the both versions of the album. Here it is, though, in position number 2 in the American album. This is called Dealer.
As the evening sun goes down, the dealer shuffles into town, makes a note of what's afloat. Spinning round, he'll cut your throat in the time it takes to heal. The dealer's made another deal. When he plays for keeps and sweeps the spinning roulette wheel. Dealer, dealer, like the mighty ocean's roar, he gets all his share of more. Mexican right to the Cornberry Cry. If you cross him up ashore, you'll get even with a score. Leave your wife a weeping widow on the shore.
Dealer, rather heavy song in terms of lyrical content there from the band Traffic. This was Steve Winwood's second band. He had originally been a member of the Spencer Davis Group. If you remember, you know, Give Me Some Love, and of course, that great single from a couple of years earlier. that he had released with them. But being the lead singer and the keyboardist, I mean, he was obviously so integral to the Spencer Davis Group that it's kind of odd that it was even called the Spencer Davis Group when it was really, you know, at that point, by the time that Steve Winwood and that single came out, it was really the Steve Winwood Group. So it was time for him to basically move on. And he met the other members of Traffic, who happened to be Dave Mason and Jim Capaldi and Chris Wood, the four of them from various bands. They had got together in around April of 1967 to start rehearsing, since Steve Winwood was already, actually they were all successful to some degree in a variety of bands around England. A band called The Hellions and Locomotive were the other bands that the other members were in. But anyway, they were able to afford a cottage in the Berkshire section of England, wherever that is. I guess it's in a rural part of the country. And they lived in it while they recorded. And it pretty much was perfect for like a 1967 situation where you've got your own little band camp thing going on in the 60s. It was ideal for what they were trying to do. And it actually inspired an awful lot of the material that was on the album, perhaps including this track called Colored Rain.
Yesterday I was a young boy, searching for my way, not knowing what I wanted, living life from day to day. Till you came up.
Short one there, Colored Rain. We're listening to the first Traffic album as it was released in December of 1967. It makes my list of the alternative top 40, which is to say albums that never made the top 40, because in America it never charted any higher than number 88, incredibly. Or maybe not so incredibly, in terms of the fact that it really was more or less an underground sort of an album. In England, a number of these songs were singles and hits. The first track that we played, Paper Sun, was a successful hit single in England, not in America. This next track was written by Dave Mason. It's called Hole in My Shoe. This was also a hit single in England, but not here. Again, of course, definitely not here in America. It's interesting to note, I mean, Dave Mason's history in this band is really... he must have gotten dizzy. How many times he joined and quit and joined and quit and joined and quit. He was obviously, like I said, he was part of the band, living in the house, part of like whatever the band lifestyle was when they were recording the album. But before the album was finished, he had quit the band, complaining about the band lifestyle, that he was uncomfortable with that or whatever exactly that means. He also had different, you know, they basically, as normal with these situations, they claim artistic differences. Winwood was thinking about going in a more folky direction, and Dave Mason was happy doing the psychedelic pop stuff. But the album was released as originally intended in England. That's the way it came out first. But by the time it got released in America with a different title, Heaven Is In Your Mind, it was three band members posing on the cover. Dave Mason isn't even on the front cover of the album, although he was obviously contributing to the entire album. He's written a good number of the songs that are on the album, but he was not there for the artwork for the new American cover. So if you see the original cover and you see three people instead of four, that's the reason. Dave Mason's on the track, but not on the cover.
Wow. Interesting.
That being said, Dave Mason actually wrote this song. And as I said, on the American version of the album, not on the British version, because it was a single. And as I said, in Britain, they rarely put singles on the album. This track, written by Dave Mason, is entitled Hole in My Shoe.
I looked in the sky where an elephant's eye was looking at me from a bubblegum tree. What I knew was the hole in my shoe, which was letting in water. I walked through a field that just wasn't real, with 100 tin soldiers which stood at my shoulder. And all that I knew was the hole in my shoe, which was letting in water.
Going to ask the question, exactly how psychedelic could you get in 1967? There's traffic attempting to answer that question.
Oh boy.
Amazingly psychedelic, especially compared to latter day traffic. Definitely, it's funny, Dave Mason, they're trying to give Syd Barrett a run for his money.
Yeah, for sure.
In a sense. We had played the first Pink Floyd album a few weeks back, actually, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which definitely does win for the How Psychedelic Can You Get contest. Definitely won by Syd. Syd, you know, really no contest. But
put a little tick in Syd's column, but but they were trying to give them some competition.
Definitely, yes. And actually, Traffic doing a good job of it because it's catchy stuff on this stuff. And it's those two tracks, the singles, that were added to the American album that made it just so much more fun to listen to. It just gave the album a lot more variety. Next track, one thing you notice very quickly with Steve Winwood, even on this, the first album, with his own songwriting, is you realize that he has an excellent penchant for melody. He's just got this great ability to write really cool, soaring melodies, as is quite obvious on this next track on the album called No Face, No Name, and No Number.
I'm looking for a girl who has no face. She has no name or number. And so I search within this lonely place, no.
Awful lot about how psychedelic music had been in the United States, but it seems to part of me thinks that maybe it was even more so like that in Great Britain. See, we had the Yardbirds had Roger the Engineer, the Rolling Stones had Her Satanic Majesty's Request, Beatles, of course, with Sgt. Pepper, and Pink Floyd, of course, with their debut album, and Traffic with Mr. Fantasy, which is the album that we are playing now in its entirety. I'm trying to see if we can fit it all in. So let me play the next track right straight away. Credited to all members except Mason. For some reason, whenever Dave Mason wrote a song with the band, it was always separate from the other three, which is a bit of a sign of the fact that he wasn't going to be with the band for long. Although, as I had mentioned earlier, he quit before the album was released. This album was released in America, so he's not on the cover. But the fact is that he did rejoin in time to be a participant on about 75% of the band's second album before he quit again and was gone. And then the band released a third album called Last Exit without him, by which time Steve Winwood quit. And then the band eventually, after a whole bunch of rigmaroles, they eventually reformed again. And Dave Mason rolled into that configuration at one point even. It's really nutty. It's difficult to figure out, you know, who was in the band at whatever given moment. But back to the album, though. This next track is called Heaven Is In Your Mind.
Out the bar. It's lit by lots of glowworms. If I'm wrong, correct me, please. The village is a pop-up book. The people wooden dolls. The roads are made from treacle. Think it's time that I moved on. My boat is half a walnut shell. The journey will be long. So I fill the hold with peppermints and creamy pink blancmange. I sailed away for 15 days. It never once got dark. And came upon two large houses set out in a park. On the door of one was truth. On the other door was lies. Which one should I enter through? I really must decide. Door mark lies had lots of flowers growing round outside. But looking closer noticed it was crumbling inside. The door mark truth was very plain, but stood up very strong. And when I entered through its door, I knew I wasn't wrong.
Tripping on the whole psychedelic aspect here again.
Freaking out.
That track. Now, this was really funny about it. That track was written by, that was called House for Everyone. The song before it is called Heaven is in Your Mind. House for Everyone is a Dave Mason song written by Dave Mason. It's hard to believe that Dave Mason was like the king of the psychedelic tunes on this.
It's wild.
You know, it's him who wrote Hole in My Shoe, the other psychedelic, you know, bluntly psychedelic song. And most of the people who think of Dave Mason tend to think of him as that the middle of the road, you know, adult contemporary sort of artist.
Yes.
You know, from the 70s. That's not where he came from. You know, he definitely has got psychedelic roots, as you can hear here. Now, that song, House for Everyone, inspired by the circumstances of how the band was living. They were living in a house for everyone, you know, the band sharing the house for inspiration for the songs they were going to write and for what was going to provide the material. That was the song that Mason came up with about the living situation. This next track is the one that was written, credited to the other three members, Capaldi, Winwood, and Wood. It's called Berkshire Poppies.
Of buildings that block out my view, watched by a truck with a hole in his shoe, standing alone on the corner. He's thinking that work is all a big joke, while he looks in the gutter for something to smoke.
Yeah.
I got to say, the one thing about this, all the psychedelic music from this era, it is so deceiving because it makes it sound as though it is such a lighthearted time and that everything seems like it was so fun and breezy and easy. And it was not at all. I mean, when you look at the history of what just about every single musician was going through, I think that what was coming out of the music was this desire to be lighthearted and basically to toss off that, like the burdens of the older generation. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, they were literally cutting new paths. And it's like, it's not much different than if you were basically going to like try to like walk through a jungle and you got to basically cut your way through. That's sort of what the hippie generation was doing in 1967, you know, cutting a path, cutting blindly through a new territory that was untouched. And a lot of people got damaged along the way, an awful lot. But the music is left behind, and it's rather remarkable that the music is so lighthearted and fun to listen to. That's where I find this album takes me for the most part. That track called Berkshire Poppies. The album has one instrumental on it. Each version of the album. This album actually exists in four different versions, if you could believe it. There, as I said, there's the British version, there's the first American version, which was released in stereo, and then there were different mixes of the American version that came out, partial stereo and mono, and then a complete remix of the English album. And for somehow, they're all available on CD, which really can get very confusing. So if I were going to make a suggestion to you, I would say try to find the version of the album that I am playing now, the version that has got 12 songs on it. And if it starts with Paper Sun, you've got the right album. That's the right version, just regardless of the cover. It should be called, at this point in time, it's probably got the title Mr. Fantasy on it, which is fine. That is the first Traffic album. But try to find the copy which starts with Paper Sun. Meanwhile, back to the record then. We're on side two at this point in time. This next track entitled Giving to You.
Baby, baby, you see this town? Baby, someday this town all gonna be yours. You just stick with me, baby, because I'm gonna knock down. You dig?
Atticus,
when I get there, you're gonna
be hearing some mean things about you on this park. I've been hearing you've been taking their side again.
I'm not making it, man. It's jazz.
Thank you. where it's at there. I mean, it's like, it's not making it, man. It's like, jazz.
That track is called Smiling Phases, which followed Giving to You. Smiling Phases was another one of those ads, a good song that actually improved the album that made the American version that was not included on the British version. The songs that were cut from the British version were both Dave Mason songs that did not make sense. They cut a song called Utterly Simple and Hope I Never Find Me There. Both of them totally hippified, psychedelic tracks that sort of meander, to be honest. And I guess because he had left the band, when the American version came out, they yanked two of his versions off of the record.
May as well.
And no offense to Dave Mason intended, but the album was immensely better for it.
Ooh.
When they took off those two tracks. And they added, you know, Hole in My Shoe, another Dave Mason track, but it was a single and a better song, much better than either of the two that were removed. And the other two songs added are significantly improvements, meaning Paper Sun and that last track we just heard, Smiling Phases. All right, then, that being said, we've only got time for one more, and we ate up the entire hour, and the album really only has one more track to go, plus a little tag on after the track called Wear a Fade, You Missed This, where they kind of like mess around by playing one of the tracks backward as they fade out the album. But to summarize, I remember this one thing. I don't know exactly what year it was. It might have been 1970. I remember I was maybe 12 years old. There was a made-for-TV movie called Go Ask Alice that was all about trying to basically school us young'uns about the pitfalls and the incredible dangers of getting involved in taking drugs at a young age. And, of course, the title came straight from the Jefferson Airplane song, you know, Go Ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And
Alice in Wonderland reference.
Right, of course. That was that song. But the climax of the movie or the climactic part of the movie was when Alice, who starts out being incredibly straight-laced and a really good girl and straight-A student, you know, is at a party and finds herself tripping on LSD and all these crazy colors and things are swirling around her. And in one way, it was really cool. But just like you would expect in a TV movie, they set it up to really scare the bejesus out of you if you were a little kid. And it kind of worked for me. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be going there. So I definitely, you know, was not going to start tripping at the age of 12 anyway. But the movie did a good job of basically pushing me away from that direction entirely. But this is the song that they were playing at the party in the background. It also serves as the centerpiece and the climactic moment of this album, the very first Traffic album. It's called Dear Mr. Fantasy. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.
Straight mind you had, we wouldn't have known you. love you.